This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. It is time now to talk some MLB All-Star Game and Rangers second half. Sean McFarland, our friend from the Dallas Morning News, joins us now here on your home of the champs. Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's going on, guys? How we doing?
Well, we're doing pretty good, especially how the Rangers played baseball when we last left off. Let's start there, Sean. How much have the Rangers righted the ship at this point?
I think it's huge. I think, honestly, just going into the break, feeling good about where they're at is a massive plus. You know, I was in Houston with them. I was in Anaheim with them. And you could just get a sense from, you know, players, coaches, and staff that, you know, they felt positive about where things were going into the second half. You saw a lot of things go right, especially in the Houston series, you know, winning big, intense games where there's such a small margin of error. I think it just builds that confidence that they can make a run if things go as they did in the last week, once the second half begins.
It's a tough second half to begin with Baltimore there. Now, they played Baltimore really well on the road a couple weeks ago, but they did drop 3 of 4. What sense or vibe do you get from management and the front office as to what needs to happen here to be buyers or sellers? Do you think maybe they're just going to stand pat?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, and this is – I'm trying not to be too much of a cop-out here, but it's like I think if they're going to be buyers – you got to see more baseball that you saw last week against Anaheim and Houston and Tampa Bay. If it looks like the previous weeks of baseball before that, you know, who knows, you know, if it's, especially if it does become a seller's market because of the added wild card, there's so many more teams in contention. There's less teams selling. You might get a premium on your return. But look, they won the World Series last year. There's a really good core here. You know, this team wants to contend. They want to make a push. They want to see the signs that says, let's invest in this team. So, I mean, I think if they come into the second half and play the same baseball they were this last week against Houston and Anaheim, and they, you know, I don't know if they have to, like, go out and sweep Baltimore, but if they look, if they're in contention against Baltimore, they handle business against Chicago, they go to Toronto, they play well there. You know, they're only 5 games back right now. You know, it's not the strongest division. I think it just takes a good week or two of baseball to say, let's continue to invest in this current team.
Sean, when do you expect to see Josh Jung back in the lineup?
Yeah, so he took a big step on Sunday in Houston. He hit off the tee with a regular bat for the first time since his last rehab start, which was in mid-June. You know, he's still working out over this break. And I think, you know, if all goes well, there's no setbacks, they ideally want to get him some rehab at-bats in the minors not too long, you know, into the second half. You know, I think hopefully within the next week or so, should everything continue to progress well. But look, the timeline on him, it feels like changes every week. They don't want to do anything that's going to cause further setbacks or further injury. They're going to be smart about it. But, you know, if all goes well, I think within these next couple of weeks, we're going to get closer, have him back in the lineup.
Hey, Sean, if I could circle back, if they do become a seller, what type of return can you project that at all? Or what it just depend on who they move on from, who they get back? Is that kind of how this is going to work on this? I mean, or can you, as a guy that covers this every day, do you have an idea like, okay, if they move on from a reliever, this is what we expect for them to get back?
Yeah, I think it's tough to project until you know what they would be willing to sell. But I think if you look at last year, you know, the Rangers gave up two prospects in Tekoa Roby and Thomas Seguisi, who were, you know, kind of just outside the top 100 to get Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton. And if you're looking at what this team has to sell, you're looking at a plethora of starters. You're looking at, you know, a David Robinson or a Kirby Yates, you know, those type of back end of the relief bullpen guys. I think, you know, you hope for a similar package, you know, ideally, but, you know, it all kind of depends on how the market shakes out and who's selling and who's buying, I think.
Sean McFarland, Morning News with us. Okay, Ray Davis has been a buyer in a big way during his ownership tenure, but then there have been like long gaps of not spending in between. Obviously, the Monty story from spring, and now the report they could let pitchers go and maybe budget conscious here. Is there a window in the future where you get a little bit of breathing room for that luxury tax threshold again and we could expect something? Because for now, it just seems like the only way to improve the team is, you know, to trade away prospect value because they just have no interest in adding payroll, it seems.
Yeah, listen, they have some contracts that will be off the book this year, you know, and guys like Nathan Eovaldi, Michael Lorenzen, Andrew Heaney, you know, and do you want to re-sign those guys? Who knows, but their contracts will be off the book this offseason. Obviously, we know the regional sports network thing plays into this and what the future looks like there. You know, I think you look at this team and your core guys are locked up. Some of your arbitration guys you still have for a few more years. You have DeGrom locked up for a couple more years, and you hope that he looks like himself when he comes out of the second half. So I think it's, you know, would I expect them to be like massive spenders again in the next year, you know, in free agency? I don't know, probably not. But, you know, I think you will have a little more breathing room this offseason compared to the previous one to make, you know, additions around the margins, I think.
One thing we haven't really spent a ton of time discussing is what they did in the MLB draft. I think the All-Star weekend certainly took a lot of shine off of that. And fortunately, they were picking 30th overall in the first round. They weren't picking in the top five like they have been in recent years. Did anything stand out to you from what they did over the weekend in the draft?
Yeah, I mean, they went heavy on catchers. Like they drafted four or five of them, including with their first-round pick getting Malcolm Moore from Stanford. Look, if you look at their farm system, it is the probably their weakest position in terms of guys who are close to the majors. You know, they have a 18-year-old catching prospect who seems to be a promising prospect, but he's 18, you know, so it's going to be years away from him. And they got Malcolm Moore in the first round. He's a college catcher. You know, we know the college bats tend to move quicker. He had a great freshman year at Stanford, kind of dropped back a little bit this year. But I think that was the one thing I saw was they kind of replenished their internal catching depth. And, you know, they went, as they have these last few years, very heavy on college bats, college pitchers, you know, which is kind of the trend they've been in. And it was a weak high school class. But yeah, they, you know, catcher heavy and, you know, they continue to favor college guys over high school guys.
You mentioned Eovaldi a few minutes ago. I wanted to circle back on that. It was one thing to see Monty go. That Nasty Nate's a must bring back, isn't he?
I would think so. You know, I mean, he's been unbelievable for the team. You know, not even, you know, obviously the postseason was incredible, but he's one of those guys where the guys in that clubhouse, like when he goes out there every 5 days, like there's an enormous amount of confidence behind him. And he's a clubhouse leader. When he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. You know, he's not a guy. I mean, look, the Red Sox, he left the Red Sox, and I'm sure they would love to have not let him walk away. And I can't imagine the Rangers do either. But, you know, again, if he hits free agency and a team's going to pay him significantly more money than the Rangers would, who knows? But he's not a guy that I would want to let leave this clubhouse.
Sean McFarland with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You have a piece that just dropped a little bit ago, sticking with the rotation, about Max Scherzer. And I had no idea what to expect when Scherzer was coming back. I don't know if anybody did, but what are your thoughts on him when you were putting together that article and maybe his future as well, because he's going to be a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, with Max, you know, I think, like yourself, we were all kind of in that boat of not knowing what to expect. You know, he's almost 40. This is not a minor injury he came back from. And he has just been very, very good for this team, the five starts he's made. We'll see what that looks like as he gets more starts under his belt, the regular wear and tear comes in. But, you know, he's very in tune with his body. He knows how he's feeling. I don't think he would be out there pitching if he did not feel as close to 100% as he can. Like, I asked him if he, you know, have you surprised yourself with how good you've been? He said, like, not really. Like, I wouldn't be out here if I didn't think I'd be good. And look, I don't know what the Rangers expected when he'd be healthy this year. I don't think they were fully expecting to get, like, you know, Cy Young winner Max Scherzer back. And they've gotten through five starts like a frontline starter, basically. And that's just a huge boost considering this rotation's ideally only going to get better with Tyler Mahle and DeGrom and all those guys returning within the next month or so, hopefully.
Well, Sean, you were out there for all the All-Star festivities. I'm curious what your vantage point was for the infamous national anthem. And do you like my theory she was maybe overpoured by the robot bartender?
Yes, Adam, the robot bartender, asked, I mean, I saw the video. That's a heavy pour that robot has.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, it was, I was confused about halfway through the anthem. I was like, is this just an interesting take on the anthem I'd never heard? Like, what is this? I think everyone in the press box also shared that sentiment. I'm just glad that last night's anthem went off without a hitch. Everything seemed normal, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, he crushed it last night. It was Cody Johnson, right?
Yeah.
He was in his bag.
Yes, yeah.
Who was the media member in the press box that was most disrespected and voiced that by the home run derby anthem? Just give us just one name.
Let me think. I don't think so. I think I was, like, just trying to look at the floor so much that I wouldn't, like, make eye contact with someone and, like, you know, I was just trying to, like, just stare at the floor, get through this, and, like, don't lock eyes with someone and, like, burst out laughing or something. You know what I mean? Like, That was my mindset the entire anthem. So I think I got through that fine. That was my plan.
How was Boach after making some history as the winning manager?
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked with him yesterday, and, you know, he's obviously experienced it all in baseball, the World Series, the All-Star Games, the managing some of the best players to ever play in this game. But you could tell that I think he took a minute yesterday to really kind of appreciate the fact that this was his fifth All-Star game. He's coming off a World Series win. He's managing it in his home stadium. And you could tell that he really appreciated the moment, which I think is very cool because, you know, when you're in the day-to-day grind of the sport or any sport, I think it can be hard to step back and fully appreciate the moment, but I think he did yesterday, and I think that's really cool to see.
Where do you think he appreciated the hideous uniform he was wearing that night?
The uniforms were tough, man. I think, you know, Rob Manfred met with the Baseball Writers Association of America yesterday and kind of said, like, there will be discussion moving forward about switching back to everyone wears their own uniform.
Sure.
It's, you know, I don't hate the idea of custom All-Star uniforms. You know, I think if they're done well, it could be cool, but,
yeah,
you know, it's been a couple of years now of, like,
what's up with baseball and overall? I mean, uniform, it's been a problem since April, right? I mean, is this just something that they just did not get right, or is this the manufacturing problem? What is the deal here?
I think it's a manufacturing problem. Like, I will say this, though. Like, it was such a big topic of discussion in April and spring training, sure, and understandably so. But, like, I don't think anyone's talked about it in months. Like, the players don't, yeah, at least the Rangers players, like, they weren't too bothered by it. Like, they recognized that there's a difference. They were fine with the old ones. You know, they're mostly fine with the new ones. But at the same time, they were just like, I don't know why we had to make this change in the first place. Sure. So we'll see what it looks like. I imagine and hope that MLB and Fanatics and Nike learn from this experience, and next year we're not spending all April talking about like see-through pants and stuff.
Sure.
But it has not been as big of an issue once the actual baseball started playing. I can say that.
Yeah, I was watching the Dodgers play the other night, one of those games. I think they were in Washington or something, and it looked like the that gray, it went to like dark, dark, dark gray.
Oh, yeah. Grays are the ones that like the Rangers too. Like it really, really shows. Like the rest of them, I think, are mostly fine, but it's the grays where you can really see that there's like a significant difference.
Sean McFarland, Morning News. Great job covering the team as always, sir. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Sean McFarland. Read his stuff. A lot of good stuff out there to check into, including a nice article. I mean, Max Scherzer, talking to the insiders just 6 weeks ago, they're like, we're not even sure if Max is going to play at all this year. Once the numbness started happening. So this has been amazing. You know, you're looking at vintage Max Scherzer out there right now. Okay, top 10's coming up. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
National Hot Dog Day, the top 10 best toppings for your dog. And is this the kryptonite for Patrick Mahomes? That's next in the Nation.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back, Nation. A segment is brought to you by Window Nation, 50% off all windows. And the GBAC Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It is time now for Zach Woolchuk's top 10. Here he is, the Woolly Bully, Zach with an H.
Thank you very much, General. It is National Hot Dog Day. What is your hot dog toppings? 877-881-1053. But have we possibly found Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite? This was him yesterday reporting to Chiefs training camp, and he is doing a first in the NFL for him at camp. This is Patty.
This is my first year I'm bringing a TV. So I haven't brought a TV ever before, but NCAA came out, and I'm going to have to turn it on. So I brought a TV for NCAA and the Olympics. So that's my first year of doing that.
All right, we just got to throw in the Olympics, but really, it's about NCAA that has just come out.
Well, he's in the game.
He is in the game, and he deserves to be in the game, but we know Kyler Murray and the Call of Duty that has snake-bitten him. We haven't had to worry about NCAA being out in the career of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Is this finally something that maybe we find a weakness in Patrick Mahomes, and he spends too much damn time building his Texas Tech dynasty?
Possible. You can't rule it out. I don't think anything will stop the man.
I don't either.
And Andy Reid has some of the most demanding training camps in all of the NFL, if not the single most. So I'm sure if he needs a wake-up call from it, he'll get it. But, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that video games got the best of somebody's job.
If he runs out of beer, that might slow him down.
Yeah, all that Coors Light.
Yeah. If he runs out of Coors Light, then I think that might.
I do think, though, the fact that he's playing ketchup. Football, at least it's still like it's the football element. You can be gaining something out of that. Like Kyler's playing a completely different game. There's no football relation.
Honestly,
really.
It's probably just going to make him better. He's probably going to see some play or do something in the game. And he's like, you know what? I bet I could do that in real life.
Yeah. And as a father of two, he knows this is like training camp is really the only time that he will be able to really sink in. And
that's a great point.
You know?
There you go.
So, like, kudos to him for that. Honestly, I was thinking about just, if I could afford it, I'd get a console and get the game just for while we go to Oxnard.
Yeah.
For those 10 days, I'll feel great about having the opportunity just staying up into the wee hours of the night. Walchuk's coming up to my room. He's got his Snuggie, the whole nine. I got the Doritos because I always do.
I mean, I could bring the Xbox, but I'd have to check it back.
Bring the box.
Mahomes, nanny?
Bring your freaking box to camp, bro.
Maybe nanny?
Oh, yeah, you go nanny for sure.
Nanny, he's got to have a nanny, right?
Yeah.
Mahomes? Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's worried about losing sleep and stuff like that, like you would. Like
it's probably a little bit different.
You got like a nighttime nanny.
Yeah, you got somebody that's getting up with the baby. It's not you. I kind of feel like that maybe we're working on that.
So he'll have a little bit more time than others to play that game if he wants to.
I would say
to.
He's got a lot of time to maybe sleep if he wants to.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
I think Pat will be fine. I agree with
you. He ain't getting up changing diapers. I don't think that's happening.
You don't think he's changing diapers?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Nope.
It sounds like you don't even think mom is either. It sounds like
I kind of feel like that, I probably got a nanny that kind of takes care of all that stuff, really, to be honest with you. That'd be my guess.
Okay, 254, can we rent consoles? Can we do that? Can, like, we rent a console to have with us and then just return it like after the week of Oxnard?
What are the chances of being able to rent a console?
I don't
Back
know.
In the day, that was the best I could get. I went through a long drought of having a console. I had to buy the original Nintendo with lawnmower money. And then Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis is out and everything. And you would go to Blockbuster and rent the entire console for like 10 bucks a day and a couple of games.
Hell yeah. I didn't even know you could rent consoles. That's amazing.
Just check the
Probably don't back. Do it anymore.
That's badass. But just what?
Just check the damn bag.
I could do that too. Yeah, I could check it back.
Just check the damn bag.
I'll look into it. I'll see what
it's
I
probably
going
to take us a long time to get the car, so just check the damn bag.
All right. We'll consider that. Dawson's already given me the
biggest issue is... No, I think you should. The biggest issue is getting sufficient Wi-Fi, but if you're playing against other people, then you don't need that.
I mean,
getting the hookups to your TV.
I was going to...
We'll just go mano-a-mano style.
Yeah, we'll just go 1v1.
Yeah.
And then everyone actually ends up being in the room. Like, we're not going to be going to Rudder Room. We're just going to be partying and playing NCAA. Who's the best at the fan? All right, let's get into the top 10. Oh, I got FIFA. That's already
FIFA
downloaded.
FIFA shots.
So cool. Dude, we could play FIFA shots. Yes. This might be on to something here, boys.
Maybe Dawson comes out of retirement.
Maybe. 877. Don't tempt me. Hit a couple posts. 877-881-1053. What are your favorite hot dog toppings? It is National Hot Dog Day. Now, I know, Eric, yours is going to be mustard. Mustard will be your number one. But are you anti-ketchup?
I'm not going to go as far as to say I'm anti-ketchup, but it's not something that I personally would never do that. Like, ketchup for me is, at Whataburger, I'll dip the burger into their amazing ketchup and then French fries. Otherwise, I don't really need ketchup for anything else.
By the way, have you heard that In-N-Out has a mustard-fried burger?
What?
Yeah, Abby dropped that on me last night. We're in the drive-thru. She said, Dad, ask for a mustard-fried burger. I thought, am I getting butt-cracked here? Mm. So I asked the gal. I said, is there such thing as a mustard-fried burger? She said, yeah.
Was it bomb?
She ate it.
Okay, okay. Nice,
but it's essentially putting a bunch of mustard on the burger before you cook it.
Sounds like a great idea. Huh. Aren't we doing that with brisket and stuff plenty?
Yeah, as a binder. As a binder, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
They've also got that Flying Dutchman, right, which is the grilled onions.
Oh, yeah.
You looked at me like that was something dirty.
What, the Flying Dutchman?
Yeah.
Yeah, if Eric would have said it, I wouldn't have believed it.
I'm going to Urban Dictionary that one.
Yeah, I mean, there might be alternative ways of what that means.
What'd you say again?
The Flying Dutchman. Jalapeno mustard or McDonald's spicy mustard.
The jalapeno mustard is good.
Swag Daddy's.
I used to put that on my ribs.
Ooh, okay. I've never actually had a jalapeno mustard. 469 Swag Daddy said hot mayo and pico de gallo. Hot dog spray cheese and whatever else from the 214. Now, I did see a Seattle dog. I don't know if you guys had ever even heard of a Seattle dog. This was a first for me.
Chicago with the pickle and the tomato.
That's the
and
only
all
one
that
I knew
so
of.
So they
right?
sprinkle some black tar heroin on top of it.
A Seattle
like
dog? No, it's actually a fish dog.
I think it comes with salmon. I thought there'd be some salmon involved.
No. So what it is they do a spicy like beef hot dog.
You're thinking of the Portland dog, Chief.
That's right. That's right. My apologies. I got my cities mixed up.
But they toast the bun on the bottom of it. They put a layer of cream cheese. Then they put the dog, and then they do mustard, relish, and jalapenos.
Wow, dude. I don't know if I'm doing that. I got to try relish again because I haven't really done that since I got my adult taste buds in. So I need to revisit the relish, but everything else about that dog sounds phenomenal. I'm a cream cheese guy. Mustard, I mean, all of that sounds great. Get a little grilled onions. You said jalapeno.
Yeah, jalapenos.
I like that, dude. I mean, that's got a chance.
The Dirty Curdy that is legendary in Stillwater. If you get a drunken night out there and you want to go see an Oklahoma State game, that's the first time I had a hot dog with cream cheese on it. And it is actually pretty damn delicious.
Love cream cheese.
And I know we got people that are putting mayo on their hot dogs, like Joe Hoyt. Big mayo guy on the hot dog.
Apparently, one out of every five people go mayo on the dog.
I'm sure they do. Lucius, are you a mayo on the hot dog? What are we putting on our dogs?
Yeah, I'm not mad at mayo on a hot dog, and I would mix it with some ketchup, make a little pink sauce.
There you go.
Good pink sauce.
I like a lot of mustard on my hot dog, though, originally.
Yeah.
Put a little Coney Island sauce, a little Coney chili.
Yeah.
Small onions chopped up. Sprinkle some cheese on that dog.
I do love a grilled onion on there, too. You get a caramelized onion on there.
When I was growing up, I'm dead serious. I had a buddy that would do peanut butter on the hot dog.
Okay.
Never heard of that. What about coleslaw?
I do like a peanut butter pancake. I would never try coleslaw on anything.
Somebody texted in coleslaw. Have you tried coleslaw on a dog?
Yeah. My dad and them made some weird hot dogs. Yeah. He called them Chicago dogs, but they were not Chicago dogs. Yeah. They were big links, and you put coleslaw on there and everything, and chili. It was fantastic, but they were not Chicago dogs.
I think that's more kind of a South Carolina thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I could see maybe
Slaw dog is what they...
Like, yeah. You had an Earl Campbell
Georgia hot dog, yeah. Slaw dog.
Maybe the coleslaw, like, to cool it down, that could be a good combo. Yeah. A lot of people texting in kimchi on a dog from the 817, mayo and chili, bacon chopped with hatch green chili, cheese and grilled onions from the 480. A lot of people dolling up their hot dogs in different ways. Here is your list. Honorable mentions. We do have the coleslaw as an honorable mention. Banana peppers, mayo.
I think banana peppers would be pretty good.
And how about this? The number one honorable mention at 11, just on the outside looking in, Eric, and I don't know if you've ever done this. French fries.
Top the dog with French fries. French I don't fries think I've ever actually isn't. Oh no, it's the Pittsburgh burger that does that.
Yeah,
I've never necessarily done
the
with
Pittsburgh
the
sandwich. Panani
Brothers,
that
is that what it is?
Panani Brothers. Yeah, don't they
the,
put
the who brothers?
Panani.
Panani.
The Pamanis. Okay.
Panani.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've never done it. I never topped it with fries, but why not?
Number 10 is jalapenos.
Mm-hmm. Jalapenos.
9 is dill pickles.
Okay.
8 is bacon.
Yeah.
I haven't rocked a lot of bacon on the hot dog.
Sometimes you just got to sprinkle some pork on your pork.
If you're going to do that,
wrap it. I knew you were going to say that.
Smoke it.
Wrap the bacon around the hot dog and then cook it that way.
You ever just do, just lather some nacho cheese on there?
I'm cool with it.
Usually you get that with the chili dog, but maybe you hold the chili and just go cheese that bad boy up.
You know, another one that I've seen people do is baked beans.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to really candy up those baked beans with some brown sugar, maybe some finely diced jalapeno sausage.
I would use it as a dipper. I would dip the dog in the baked beans maybe with some barbecue sauce.
Baked bean juice.
Go ahead and moisten
you
it up a little bit.
Strain out the beans.
Yeah. That could be better than
sog the bun.
Dipping in the water. Maybe just dip in the bean juice.
I do. It would taste better.
Tastes better. Mm. 7 is sauerkraut.
I'll go there.
6 is cheese.
Yeah.
Just what kind of cheese?
Just some shredded cheese there.
Just cheese.
In the side, yeah.
5 is ketchup. It's only at 5.
Yeah, just a little like ketchup. That. Little stripe of ketchup.
4 is chili.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
3 is the relish.
With number 7, the cheese.
Yeah, well.
With relish number, is basically
number 9, the onion.
Some people just don't like all of these things. They want to just do them individually.
Well, put them together.
Is relish just pickles?
It's diced up.
Yes, and you can get them like with the sweet relish if you want, or you can just get plain relish, which is not sweet, but it's diced up pickle.
I would go with what they call the gherkin, which is a little bit smaller pickle, little tiny pickles, and dice those up. They make a little bit better relish. Yeah,
so like the Chicago dog will put a whole pickle sphere on there.
Sphere, yeah.
And then there's the relish.
Sphere.
2 is onions.
I love onions.
Okay, 2, 4, 9.
Together.
All together.
And then number 1, best hot dog topping, the mustard.
The mustard.
Yeah. Of course. Just straight French's yellow mustard, or are you going a little brown?
I'll do any of them.
A little.
Anything but a honey, I think.
I feel fancier with the brown.
Yeah, I think so, too. French's makes a brown mustard.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, the brown mustard, Golden's, I think.
Golden's.
Is a great brand.
Golden's,
yes, probably from Germany.
Golden's. You do the stone ground mustard?
I love that stuff. Okay. I mean, Grey Poupon to the original fancy mustard. Yeah, that one's outstanding. Poupon. Is that horseradish in there?
Oh, I think it's got a little hint.
Is that what gives it a little kick?
A little hint.
Shout out to Nick Nepik, our old teammate here at 105 Through the Fan who's listening. It's Permanti Bros in Pittsburgh who invented Permanti fries in the sandwich. It's elite, he says. And he hates most things, but he doesn't hate that.
Looks like the Flying Dutchman is some combination between a ghost poo and a Houdini.
Okay.
All at the same time. So that's what the Flying Dutchman is.
Flying Dutchman.
Get your fiber thins.
Order one in and out.
Okay. thank you, Woolchuck. It's Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the nation. Chief, where are we going next? Which member of the G-Bag Nation will be the first to purchase this next in the nation? Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got sweet dreams of football season right around the corner. We'll be in Oxnard next Wednesday night, set to broadcast. Brought us to stay in the whole time over there in California. It'll be issuing reports and doing the show with us live from the tennis courts, even after the rest of us come on back to join Lucius. Okay, speaking of Lucius, LA Live's coming up in about an hour or so. Football's finest at 5. Chief, what's this about us buying something?
Yeah, have you guys seen the newest apocalypse meal opportunity that Costco's
punching out?
No.
I was in Costco. Well, I take that back. I was in Sam's the other day.
Oh, I love Sam's.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Sam's. Yeah. And now I figured out how to use the app where I don't even have to get in line.
Yeah, it feels like you're stealing it, right?
You could take your phone and just scan everything and put it. It goes to a card. You put a card on there on file.
Scan as you go.
Yeah. And you just now when it's instead of standing in the line with everybody, you just push right by and go get those boxes over there by the door.
Yeah.
And load up the boxes and carry that thing to the car without ever stopping.
What would you say is the biggest difference between Sam's and Costco? Is it mainly like the Sam's gas?
I do get the Sam's gas on a good price. But no, I've never been to Costco like that, so I don't know.
You just the Sam's loyalty's there.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah. I got some jewelry at Sam's and some hot dogs. The hot dogs are amazing. Yeah, they are, bro. Yeah.
That is pretty amazing. You can go get some ready and available hot dogs and some fresh jewelry, one-stop shop. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I got crab legs there the other day. I got some crab legs. Picked up some crab legs.
Okay, yeah, I did that and some shrimp. And
You could get some good deals on some seafood and some steaks and stuff like that.
So you say steaks. What is that big thing that the steaks are made out of, the ribeyes?
Yeah.
What is the larger version that you cut and you could create?
Tomahawk.
No, not the, it's like the
tenderloin, the beef tenderloin.
Is it a chuck or something like that? I don't know what it's called. Anyway, you can buy those up there at Sam's and you can cut them in half and you got like seven steaks.
Oh, you smell like getting steaks out of
chop. You got like 7 to 8 steaks all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You get the big dog and then you just cut them in.
Yeah, you can cut this and everything.
Lucius is right. You cut your own width on those steaks. Yeah.
I'm in on that. I'm totally in on that.
Chateaubriand.
Well, this apocalypse dinner kit comes with 150 servings of food, and it'll last you 25 years, apparently. That's the shelf life on this thing.
45 years?
25.
Okay, 25. Got it.
Available.
Is there Twinkies involved?
$99. Yeah, this is where the problems come in for me.
Twinkies are indestructible. Twinkies could last 100 years.
Yeah, if Twinkies were in here, they'd be able to get the years up a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Well, Costco, and this is for obviously like a zombie apocalypse situation.
Yeah, because they know what time it is.
Yeah. Well, this is as good a time as ever. If you're going to come out with an apocalypse meal,
Could you do this if like the power went off and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like,
all you have to do is apparently add water to every one of these things. Yeah. And here's my issue with it is like this is what you're going to get. 12 servings of pasta Alfredo.
Okay.
You're going to get a cheesy macaroni. You're going to get 6 servings of teriyaki rice in your apocalypse zombie meal. Creamy pasta, vegetables, potato pot pie, tomato basil soup with pasta, chicken noodle soup, and 12 more servings of brown sugar and maple multigrain, apple cinnamon cereal, crunchy granola, bunch more white rice, vanilla pudding, some type of orange drink that I imagine is like a Tang. And I'm like, what's
wrong with Tang over there?
Where's the protein,
you don't need
dude?
Some Tang.
It's just, hey, here's a bunch of grain. Here's it. Like you're trying to survive and beat zombies, and you're gonna lose your muscle mass in a second.
The protein you're gonna need to cook, really. Like I guess this is all just instant.
Add
type
water
of stuff.
Kind of thing. Add hot water.
Like, I need fire and heat to be able to really cook protein.
I mean, is that what the our astronauts? They're not getting any protein up there. They're just taking a bunch of granola.
The meat can hold, you know? Like, you might have to get a protein powder. They should be packing some protein powder in there.
I think we're losing some weight when we're up there, by the way.
I do see a whey milk
alternative. Yeah, they come back looking funny, bro. Yeah,
whatever that means.
Yeah.
Like, how long could beef jerky hold? That seems like it'd be good to go for 100 years or so.
Okay,
let's pack some of that in there.
Let's get a little Bucky's beef jerky in there. Maybe some beaver nuggets just for some funsies. Those things probably
gonna
last
again,
for 100
Twinkies,
years.
Twinkies could last forever.
Yeah, shout out to Zombieland.
So are we? Are you guys in? Are you
okay? Let me ask you.
What do you
question.
Think? Is this going in the bunker?
I think so.
Yeah.
If you are in the prepping business, this is a must have.
Could we get one of these and bet payoffs? You had to eat 4 of these things.
Yeah, of 4 items? It's 150 servings.
No. You pick 4 items out. And you have to eat all 4.
I think that'd be a great one. I mean, you're gonna have to spend $100 to do it, but yeah, you just throw water into some random mac and cheese and tear it up.
Speaking of water, you're going to want, assuming that there's not a lot of nuclear fallout and your bodies of water are still, you know, appropriate, you're going to want fishing line in there. You're going to want some hooks, you know, and then a lot of bullets,
machete,
probably a long rifle, a shotgun for birds, you know, 20 gauge, of course. You know, maybe a Remington 308 for taking down either that could be invaders or like your deer. You know, your cattle. In this scene, you're probably going out to harvest the protein live.
Yeah, that's what, 682 is like you're hunting your protein.
Yeah.
I get that. I'm going to need to
I think if I had to eat this, I think I'd let the zombies get me.
But like, if you got a potato pot pie, let's make it a chicken pot pie. You know, why does it have to be potato?
I don't think water. You can freeze it.
No, probably it's just not going to be able to hang.
The chicken's going to go bad.
Like, this is all about, not. This is all about the 25 years thing. Like, this is all stuff 25. That can hold 25 years. Because, like, beef jerky will last a couple of years, but it's not lasting the full 25 years.
Gotcha.
I'll have to go get the beef jerky separate is what you're telling me then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're going to, upon zombie apocalypse, we're all making a run to Buc-ee's real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beaver nuggets.
You're going to want some sort of a solar panel charging device. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Because we're not going to be able to depend on an electric grid, obviously. So something to keep the devices going so you can remain in contact, you know, monitor comms for coming in from the Fed, stuff
if
like that.
If the zombies hit, though, we're out of contact, right? We're knocked out of communication, right?
Yeah, but you might want some walkie-talkie action, right? You got a guy watching the front gate or something like that.
Zombies are just metaphors for people that have lost it, right? We're not talking about real zombies, right? We're talking about people who have just lost it.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to put any.
Like, I kind of feel like if we're to this
we're
point,
down the street.
We got knocked out.
We're down the street from this.
I kind of feel like all communication just got knocked out. If we're to this point, where,
just find the high ground.
Yeah, but that's where you need a walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to want some of that.
The radio waves are still there.
You talk about your phone, like keeping your phone and all that. Is that what you're?
That's just to play Candy Crush and stuff like that.
Possibly.
Yeah. You know, that's entertainment.
Somebody's going to try to get the cell towers back up and run.
Netflix.
Somebody's going to try to get
those
satellites
going. Is that the first thing you do? Do you try and get the cell towers back up?
Want your IT kind of guys focused on that. You know what I mean? You have your hunters. You got to divide up what's your wheelhouse. All right, let's go figure out where we're going with the phone lines.
I think Dawson and I would try and get air conditioning back as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, like, whatever we have to do, like, the hell with communication. Give me the air conditioning back up.
I respect that priority.
Giant propane tank.
Yeah.
You know, giant propane tank
propane,
to run that
propane.
AC.
Now we're grilling. 480 says the archery is actually the way to go for the quiet hunting. You know, in a situation like that?
Yes.
I can see a lot of missing going on.
Yeah, starved to death.
A lot of broken arrows, a lot of missing going on there.
That has to be the coolest way. Like, I'm not a hunter, but that has to be the coolest way to kill
your
prey.
You ever watch that Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
Ted Nugent hunting show? He's the first hunting show that actually showed the arrows going into the animals. Like, there used to be a time where you watch those. And then they would show him back at the camp like, oh, we had a good day.
It was like the Lorno of hunting?
He would show the arrow going into the turkey.
It was like softcore hunting?
Yeah, he's a wild boy. You see him cracking the neck of rabbits right there on television. Yeah. Well, I found one right here in this trap. Crack.
Seriously, that was the first hunting show that, like, you're going, oh, my God.
But you know, legit.
Usually they show, like, afterwards, like, they're standing by, well, it was a great day, and thanks for everybody for coming along. No, they show arrow going into the turkey and it falling over and stuff. Yeah.
What a great shot.
Yeah. Oh, got him.
That was a clean kill.
That does seem pretty cool. We're not airing that show anymore.
They took that off. It was too graphic for the kids.
Maybe there's a YouTube rabbit hole that we can get down there.
Your daughters would love the show.
Yeah,
no. Daddy, can we watch that?
Oh, look, Dad. Arrow through the breast of the turkey. Oh, yeah.
We did that once.
Yeah.
Look at
Ricky the raccoon taking some hot lead.
You're insane. Either way, I think this is cool. I like what Costco's doing here. And
no, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I think it's pretty awesome. I wish we could find a way to get a little bit more protein in there, but I understand the hazards. And hopefully we got some guys that really can get out there and do some game hunting.
Yes, sir. I'd be in.
It ain't going to be us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me.
Be ready for everything.
Get fish.
Get you a compass, too. Make sure that compass is sitting there in your bug-out bag, bug-out pack, whatever it might be, Brian. You know
Dawson's
what I'm
crazy,
about.
Bro.
I mean, how much stuff is he carrying here? Man, we're like, I can't go any further.
I'm just talking about the basics.
I just fall down and line, huge
he's just scratching the surface over here, bro. This
zombie guy just immediately grabs me because I got a 200-pound.
Don't watchdog my guy's apocalypse plan,
come on.
Okay?
He's prepared.
Can someone help me with this?
And you need a car jack. If you have to jack up the car.
Oh, you want some fishing line?
You know nothing. I know whose neighborhood I'm going to first to resupply.
Yeah.
See it, Bronis's address.
Bronis is dead already.
Dawson's walking around with a 300-pound pack.
Yeah, and you're walking around with a window unit.
I'm like, zombie
hey,
guy.
Hey, where can I plug in?
I'm just telling you. I would rather
like
carry
a boombox over his shoulder.
I would rather carry
somebody give me an outlet.
Air conditioning and an air mattress are the two things I carry.
And some crab legs.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Like I said, a week from today, we're flying out
to Oxnard. In addition to the finest is next. Eric, what do we got?
From D3 to dominance, plus footballer ball sack from SEC Media Day next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got sweet dreams of a football season right around the corner. We'll be in Oxnard next Wednesday night, set to broadcast. Brought us to stay in the whole time over there in California. It'll be issuing reports and doing the show with us live from the tennis courts even after the rest of us come on back to join Lucius. Okay, speaking of Lucius, LA Live's coming up in about an hour or so. Football's finest at 5. Chief, what's this about us buying something?
Yeah, have you guys seen the newest apocalypse meal opportunity that Costco's punching out?
No.
I was in Costco. Well, I take that back. I was in Sam's the other day.
Oh, I love Sam's.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Sam's. Yeah. And now I figured out how to use the app where I don't even have to get in line.
Yeah, it feels like you're stealing it, right?
You could take your phone and just scan everything and put it. It goes to a card. Put a card on there on file.
Scan as you go.
Yeah. And you just now when it's instead of standing in the line with everybody, you just push right by and go get those boxes over there by the door.
Yeah.
And load up the boxes and carry that thing to the car without ever stopping.
What would you say is the biggest difference between Sam's and Costco? Is it mainly like the Sam's gas?
I do get the Sam's gas on a good price. But no, I've never been to Costco like that, so I don't know.
You just the Sam's loyalty's there.
Yeah, I love it, man. Yeah. I got some jewelry at Sam's and some hot dogs. The hot dogs are amazing. Yeah, they are, bro. Yeah.
That is pretty amazing. You can go get some ready and available hot dogs and some fresh jewelry, one-stop shop. That's pretty cool.
I got crab legs there the other day. I got some crab legs. Picked up some crab legs.
Okay, yeah, I did that and some shrimp.
Yeah. You could get some good deals on some seafood and some steaks and stuff like that.
So you say steaks. What is that big thing that the steaks are made out of, the ribeyes?
Yeah.
What is the larger version that you cut and you could create?
Tomahawk.
No, not the, it's like the
tenderloin, the beef tenderloin.
Is it is it a chuck or something like that? I don't know what it's called. Anyway, you can buy those up there at Sam's and you can cut them in half and you got like 7 steaks.
Oh, you smell like getting steaks out of
chop. You got like 7 to 8 steaks all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. You get the big dog and then you just cut them into
steaks. You can cut and everything.
Lucius is right. You cut your own width on those steaks. Yeah.
I'm in on that. I'm totally in on that.
Chateaubriand.
Well, this apocalypse dinner kit comes with 150 servings of food, and it'll last you 25 years, apparently. That's the shelf life on this thing.
45 years?
25.
Okay, 25. Got it.
Available.
Is there Twinkies involved?
$99. Yeah, this is where the problems Twinkies come in for me.
Twinkies are indestructible. Twinkies could last 100 years.
Yeah, if Twinkies were in here, they'd be able to get the years up a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Well, Costco, and this is for obviously like a zombie apocalypse situation.
Yeah, because they know what time it is.
Yeah. Well, this is as good a time as ever. If you're going to come out with an apocalypse meal, this is probably the time.
Could you do this if like the power went off and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like,
all you have to do is apparently add water to every one of these things. Yeah. And here's my issue with it is like this is what you're going to get. 12 servings of pasta Alfredo.
Okay.
You're going to get a cheesy macaroni. You're going to get 6 servings of teriyaki rice in your apocalypse zombie meal. Creamy pasta, vegetables, potato pot pie, tomato basil soup with pasta, chicken noodle soup, and 12 more servings of brown sugar and maple multigrain, apple cinnamon cereal, crunchy granola, bunch more white rice, vanilla pudding, some type of orange drink that I imagine is like a Tang. Yes. And I'm like, what's
wrong with Tang over there?
Where's the protein,
dude?
You
don't need some Tang.
It's just, hey, here's a bunch of grain. You're trying to survive and beat zombies, and you're gonna lose your muscle mass in a second.
The protein you're gonna need to cook, really. Like, I guess this is all just instant.
Add
type
water,
of stuff.
Kind of thing. Add hot water.
Like, I need fire and heat to be able to really cook protein.
I mean, is that what our astronauts? They're not getting any protein up there. They're just taking a bunch of granola.
The meat can hold, you know? Like, you might have to get a protein powder. They should be packing some protein powder in there.
I think we're losing some weight when we're up there, by the way.
I do see a whey milk alternative.
Yeah, they come back looking funny, bro.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Yeah. Like, how long could beef jerky hold? That seems like it'd be good to go for 100 years or so.
Okay,
pack some of that in there.
Let's get a little Bucky's beef jerky in there. Maybe some beaver nuggets just for some funsies. Those things probably going to last
again,
for 100
Twinkies,
years.
Twinkies could last forever.
Yeah, shout out to Zombieland.
So are you guys in? Are you
okay? Let me ask you a question.
What do you think? Is this going in the bunker?
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, if you are in the prepping business,
this is a must have.
Could we get one of these and bet payoffs? You had to eat four of these things.
Yeah, four? Items? You have this to 150
pick,
servings.
No, you pick four items out and you have to eat all four.
I think that'd be a great one. I mean, you're going to have to spend $100 to do it, but yeah, you just throw water into some random mac and cheese and tear it up.
Speaking of water, you're going to want, assuming that there's not a lot of nuclear fallout and your bodies of water are still, you know, appropriate, you're going to want fishing line in there. You're going to want some hooks, you know, and then a lot of bullets,
machete,
probably a long rifle, a shotgun for birds, you know, 20 gauge, of course. You know, maybe a Remington 308 for taking down either that could be invaders or like your deer, you know, your cattle. In this scene, you're probably going out to harvest the protein live.
Yeah, that's what, like 682 is like you're hunting your protein.
Yeah,
I get that.
I'm going to need to.
I think if
sword.
I had to eat this, I think I'd let the zombies get me.
But like if you got a potato pot pie, let's make it a chicken pot pie. You know, why does it have to be potato?
I don't think water. You can freeze it.
No, chicken's just not going to be able to hang.
Chicken's going to go bad.
Like, this is all about the 25 years thing. Like, this is all stuff 25. That can hold 25 years. Because, like, beef jerky will last a couple of years, but it's not lasting the full 25 years.
Gotcha.
I'll have to go get the beef jerky separate is what you're telling me then.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're going to, upon zombie apocalypse, we're all making a run to Buc-ee's real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beaver nuggets.
You're going to want some sort of a solar panel charging device. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Because we're not going to be able to depend on an electric grid, obviously. So something to keep the devices going so you can remain in contact, you know, monitor comms for coming in from the Fed, stuff
like
that.
If the zombies hit, though, we're out of contact, right? We're knocked out of communication, right?
Yeah, but you might want some walkie-talkie action, right? You got a guy watching the front gate or something like that.
Zombies are just metaphors for people that have lost it, right? We're not talking about real zombies, right? We're talking about people who have just lost it.
Yeah,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to put any.
Like, I kind of feel like if we're to this
we're down
point,
the street.
We got knocked out.
We're down the street from this.
I kind of feel like all communication just got knocked out. If we're to this point,
just find the high ground.
Yeah, but that's where you need a walkie-talkie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to want some of that.
The radio waves are still there.
You talk about your phone, like keeping your phone and all that. Is that what you're?
That's just to play Candy Crush and stuff like that.
Possibly.
Yeah, that's entertainment.
Somebody's going to try to get the cell towers back up and run.
Netflix.
Somebody's going to try to get
those satellites
going.
Is that the first thing you do? Do you try and get the cell towers back up? Well, if you
want your IT kind of guys focused on that. You know what I mean? You have your hunters. You got to divide up what's your wheelhouse. All right, let's go figure out where we're going with the phone lines.
I think Dawson
get those restored?
I think Dawson and I would try and get air conditioning back as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, like, whatever we have to do, like, the hell with communication. Give me the air conditioning back up.
I respect that priority.
Giant propane tank.
Yeah.
You know, giant propane tank
propane,
to run that
propane.
AC.
Now we're grilling. 480 says the archery is actually the way to go for the quiet hunting. You know, in a situation like that?
Yes.
I can see a lot of missing going on.
Yeah, starve to death.
A lot of broken arrows, a lot of missing going on there.
That has to be the coolest way. Like, I'm not a hunter, but that has to be the coolest way to kill
your prey.
You ever
watch that Ted Nugent?
Yeah.
Ted Nugent hunting show? He's the first hunting show that actually showed the arrows going into the animals. Like, there used to be a time where you watch those. And then they would show him back at the camp like, oh, we had a good day.
It was like the Lorno of hunting?
He would show the arrow going into the turkey.
Like softcore hunting?
Yeah, he's a wild boy. You'd see him cracking the neck of rabbits right there on television. Yeah. Well, I found one right here in this trap. Crack.
God. Seriously, that was the first hunting show that, like, you're going, oh, my God.
But you know, legit.
Usually they show, like, afterwards, like, they're standing by, well, it was a great day, and thanks for everybody for coming along. No, they show arrow going into the turkey and it falling over and stuff. Yeah.
What a great shot.
Yeah. Oh, got him.
That was a clean kill.
That does seem pretty cool. We're not airing that show anymore.
They took that off. It was too graphic for the kids.
Maybe there's a YouTube rabbit hole that we can get down there.
Your daughters would love the show.
Daddy, can we watch that?
Look, Dad. Arrow through the breast of the turkey.
We did that once.
Yeah.
Oh,
look at Ricky the raccoon taking some hot lead.
You're insane. I either way, I think this is cool. I like what Costco's doing here. And
no, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I think it's pretty awesome. I wish we could find a way to get a little bit more protein in there, but I understand the hazards. And hopefully we got some guys that really can get out there and do some game hunting.
Yes, sir. I'd be in.
It ain't going to be us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be me.
Be ready for everything.
Get fish.
Get you a compass, too. Make sure that compass is sitting there in
That's smart.
In your bug-out bag, bug-out pack, whatever it might be, Brian. You know what
Dawson's
I'm talking
crazy,
about.
Bro.
I mean, how much stuff is he carrying here? Man, we're like, I can't go any further. I can't.
I'm just talking about the basics.
I just fall down with a huge pack.
He's just scratching the surface over here, bro. This
zombie guy just immediately grabs me because I got a 200-pound
Don't watchdog my guy's apocalypse plan,
come on.
Okay?
He's prepared.
Can someone help me with this?
And you need a car jack. If you have to jack up the car.
Oh, you want some fishing line? You know nothing. I know whose neighborhood I'm going to first to resupply.
Yeah.
See it, Bronis's address.
Bronis is dead already.
I just can't. Dawson's walking around with a 300-pound pack.
Yeah, and you're walking around with a window unit.
I'm like, zombie
hey,
guy.
Where can I plug in?
I'm just telling you. I would rather
like
carry
a boombox over his shoulder.
I would rather carry
somebody give me an outlet.
Air conditioning and an air mattress are the two things I carry.
And some crab legs. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Like I said, a week from today, we're flying out to Oxnard. In addition to the finest is next. Eric, what do we got?
From D3 to dominance, plus footballer ball sack from SEC Media Day next year in the nation.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.